morning. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Can't wait to talk to columnist Pat Morrison of the LA Times. Later this hour, Pat with a very entertaining column about area codes and how they hold so much value and can be a part of someone's identity. People will go to great lengths to try and keep or obtain a particular area code. Pat's joining us later this hour, but first we talk about a very different kind of real estate, and that is what's going to be happening in urban areas with very high housing prices and very limited quantity of units available relative to demand. Now that more people are working from home, has this significant and now fairly long-term trend of people working from home because of the pandemic going to fuel further drops in the cost of renting? Is it going to have an effect on inventory in housing units generally? What is it going to mean for the future? Joining us is Gary Painter, a professor at the USC Price School of Public Policy. He directs USC Price Center for Social Innovation and the Homelessness Policy Research Institute. Professor Painter, wonderful to have you back with us again on Air Talk this morning.
Thank you, Larry. It's good to be back.
Let's talk first of all about just what we're seeing trend-wise here. How big an effect do you see working at home having on the housing market?
Well, I think what we've seen in the short term is that people have moved out of the central business district areas of our large metropolitan areas where we now have seen rents fall and instead moved to the exurbs. So we're seeing rents increase in the Inland Empire, in the Central Valley, etc. The real question before us, of course, though, is this a temporary phenomenon because people can't work at the office or at the place of employment, which might be centrally located? Or is this a trend that's going to persist in the long term? And I think to that end, we have to really think about how previous kind of trends in remote work have impacted the labor market and what we might expect, you know, given this quite a bit larger shock in remote work going forward.
Yeah. So looking at that, what do you think? I mean, it would seem almost certainly you're going to have a sizable number of work from home people who are going to go back at least part time to an office. But do you think, based on the results of what, you know, so many different businesses are seeing, some of those people will stay home almost full time?
Yeah, I think it's really important to kind of think about the segments of both the labor market and the people who are demanding different places within our housing markets to really kind of come up with a prediction. And so in my view, what we're going to see is, you know, a lot of work returning to the locations where they were because the forces of agglomeration that, you know, really benefit, especially certain segments of the economy like tech and so forth, have proven to be so powerful. And in fact, you know, when the internet first came out and became widely adopted as a place of work, people were making predictions then, you know, the flat earth, et cetera, predictions that people were going to telework in large numbers. What we found instead is that remote work and telework became complementary to kind of work in place, but did not replace it. I think what we're going to see here and now is thinking about housing markets is that there's going to be some segments of our population. So the millennial generation who are looking to establish their families and so forth, where they have, you know, two parents, they have kids, they might be saying, you know what, one of us might be able to telework, which would enable one of, you know, us to move a little further where housing may be cheaper, where housing, we could actually purchase a home. But I think by and large, what we're going to see is really small shifts, not large shifts. And I think importantly, this comes in the context where our major metropolitan areas had enormous deficits in the number of units that were needed in those places. And so in some ways, what we're going to see probably is a deceleration of the kind of home prices and rents that we saw in the centers of major metropolitan areas. But because of the demand, because there's so many jobs which still can't telework effectively, I don't think that we're going to see big changes. And so the impetus that we had on us to figure out how do you build more housing to serve and really house our Californians remains a pressing issue.
I wonder about transportation, too, because I have to think even post-pandemic that there's going to be some lingering resistance to public transportation, people getting on light rail, on buses. And of course, people are still using it even during the pandemic. But I wonder longer term about, you know, how long it's going to take, if it's going to come back to even what it was.
Yeah, and actually, we had seen, driven by housing costs, a decline in public transit usage anyway, because people were having to move further and further from the center parts of Los Angeles and other major metropolitan areas. Therefore, they didn't have really reasonable transit options available to them. And so I do fear, as you said, that this will accelerate the trend away from our public transit systems. And, you know, that will place an increasing burden on people who may be thinking about, well, maybe half the week, if I'm only driving in, that's not so bad. Maybe I can live further away where housing's cheaper. In fact, to your point, this is actually going to decrease any sort of trend in moving further away from our central business districts. And it will make it, you know, still important for people who face commute costs, maybe not every day. But still, if you're traveling 3 days a week, that still is important.
I'd like to hear from our AirTalk listeners. Have you relocated as a result of the pandemic, or are you seriously considering changing where you live because of changes in work brought on by the pandemic? 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org, tweet at AirTalk, or post on the AirTalk Facebook page. Also with us from the California Association of Realtors, Deputy Chief Economist Oscar Way. Mr. Way, so good to have you with us again on Air Talk. What are you seeing as pandemic-related trends, particularly here in the southern half of California?
First of all, thank you, Larry, for inviting me, and thank you for inviting me back. We have been seeing, you know, quite a bit of changes, obviously, in 2020 because of the pandemic. The housing market, at the very first half of the year, you know, it wasn't doing very good. And then the second half of the year, because of record low interest rates, we started seeing, you know, some robust sales or demand in the housing market in California and in Southern California. Now, of course, remote working actually, you know, plays a very big role in changing some of the housing preferences, but also the housing market trends as well. If you take a look at, you know, what's going on with Southern California, I think we are seeing in the second half of the year started seeing, you know, a lot of sales rising up, not only in, you know, the more suburban areas. We are seeing, let's say, Riverside, San Bernardino, Orange County, those sales started rising quite a bit. And initially, you know, in LA, I think it was a little bit of a slowdown, but it started picking up, you know, in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. So sales have been doing very well in the second half, but at the same time, as Dr. Painter said.
And what's your thought about, is it just the low interest rates, or is there a fair amount of churn of people reassessing because of work style changing, reassessing where they want to or need to live?
Well, I think, you know, it's a little bit of both. The interest rates, definitely there is a difference, you know, of about 100 basis point compared to 2019. If you look at, you know, the record low interest rates that we experienced in the second half of the year. But yes, the remote working, I think at least initially or in the short term, we are seeing people started buying, you know, a little bit more remote from, you know, the major metropolitan area. Now, we did a survey at CAR, and we asked whether people actually changed their housing preferences. And some of the responses suggest that, yes, people are less concerned about, you know, commuting because they don't have to actually work, live close to where they work. They can actually move away for, you know, live in a place where it takes them 1 hour, 2 hours to drive if they're actually working from home. And so there are people actually moving away. But the question again is, you know, whether this is a long-term trend or a short-term trend.
Go ahead, Oscar.
I'm sorry. To me, I think, you know, yes, we are seeing a surge right now, but I think in 2021, as we started seeing, you know, the mass distribution of vaccinations, there are still going to be people working from home, but I do believe that, you know, some employees who are working at home right now probably will go back to, you know, their office.
I know this is a much, much smaller slice of the housing market, but I've just been, you know, hearing and seeing anecdotally that resort communities, properties are just, you know, flying out the door, so to speak. Lake Tahoe, Truckee in Northern California, seeing big influxes of people from the Bay Area, the Coachella Valley, seeing people from more coastal Southern California coming there. Do statistics bear that out? And again, I understand that's statistically a small part of the overall.
Yeah, I think you're right on. For some of those areas, for Big Bear, for Lake Tahoe, And in the second half of the year, we started seeing even triple-digit increase in sales. And home prices in the area increased by 30%-ish or so.
Wow.
Now, significant increase. There was a significant increase of people, you know, moving to, you know, the area. Because if you're working from home, you might want to work at an area that you can see a lot of greens and, you know, you have a little bit more space, right? But, you know, that trend seemed to be actually slowing down too at the end of last year. We have to see, you know, at the beginning of this year whether that will continue. I do believe that we will continue to see, you know, some increase in sales in those resort areas. But as you said, you know, that represents a very small share of the market, maybe about 6 or 7% of the market only.
Well, that's even more than I would have thought. So that's interesting that it's that much of people looking at those markets. Cam in Houston, so good to have you with us. I understand you used to live here in Los Angeles.
Yes, Larry. I used to live in Los Angeles, and I work for a university remotely, and I moved from LA to Houston in September. And between taxes and rent, I save over $2,000 a month. I mean, it's a huge...
Wow. That's a huge premium. So I'm assuming you don't have any regrets about making the move.
I miss the nice weather, but... the weather here is really nice, too. During this time of the year, Houston is really nice, but I do not, no.
Yeah. So, Cam, was it largely or exclusively an economic decision on your part since you can work remotely?
Pretty much. Also, I used to live and work in Houston, too, so I knew the city and I felt comfortable over here. So that was another reason, too. But, I mean, whatever the reason, when I'm faced with $2,000 more per month, I think I would have moved to anywhere just for a short amount of time. So that's just a huge difference.
Well, and I'm guessing with real estate, $2,000 more a month, that would enable you to upgrade your living circumstance too, right? Because isn't the cost of housing less there?
Substantially less, but I decided not to upgrade just to save the money.
Okay, very good. Cam, sounds like wise financial planning. Appreciate it. That's Cam in Houston, who made the move because he's able to do remote work for the university that employs him. Eric in Pasadena, you're on Air Talk. Good to have you with us. How's this affect you?
Well, as somebody who works in the live entertainment field, both on stage and off stage, I haven't been able to work since March. The unemployment and those things have helped a little bit, but I rent a small studio apartment in Pasadena, and the rent is low for this area, but it's still more than I can afford on these programs. So my savings has been dwindling, and it feels weird to even complain about it because I know that so many more are in such worse conditions. But I have been looking at trying to buy something. What I've been looking at is manufactured homes, because I can't get a mortgage anywhere else because they won't give you a mortgage if you're not working.
So that, of course, limits if you're looking at manufactured home. Limits the areas where you can necessarily live. What are some of the places you've been considering relocating to?
Well, the other challenge is I have a daughter who lives in Los Angeles, and I'm not willing to move so far away from her that I can't spend time with her. So it makes it really challenging.
Yeah.
I've been looking at places like, you know, the foothills like Pomona and San Dimas and Covina and places like that.
Yeah, looking at those inland communities. Eric, I wish you all the best. Thanks very much. Oscar Way, California Association of Realtors, any thoughts on that challenge that Eric faces?
Yeah, it's definitely some challenges because, you know, as we, you know, talked earlier, there are people who can work from home remotely, you know, maybe 30, 40%, I think, based on one study. But there are definitely people who are who need to work you know, work with people on a person-to-person interaction basis. That makes it a little tough. And, you know, hopefully, you know, after this first half of the year, we have the mass distribution of vaccine, and that will actually help, you know, the people work in the industries a little bit better. And hopefully that will open up and, you know, it's hard. And I think a lot of people continue to stay in California because of reasons of staying with friends or, you know, staying closer to people whom they are familiar with. And that's the nice thing about California. You know, it's home prices are high, but at the same time, you know, it's a nice place to live in.
All right. JF writes on the page, I don't think there are enough single people or couples that can afford $3,000 to $4,000 for a single or one bedroom apartment for all the apartments being built in West LA and Culver City. Meanwhile, due to working from home and lack of childcare, I think multi-generational housing with office space will be highly in demand. People want to start families. Not everyone wants to live in a multi-level high-rise apartment building. Gary Painter, USC Price School of Public Policy. What do you think of JF's point?
Well, I think he brings up the point that we're, you know, again, the decision on that you make in terms of where you live and what where you work is not just a decision for one person in a household. It's not there's a one earner. In most households, there's two earners. In many households, there's three earners. And you're not just dealing with the people who are, you know, kind of making the decision about where to work and where to live, but you also have your kids and where they're going to school, and then perhaps parents or other family members that you're supporting. And so to that end, decoupling, you know, for one person who might be able to remote work still doesn't change the kind of the facts on the ground for the other family members. And so to that end, I don't think that what we're going to see is a huge acceleration in people moving away from major metropolitan areas, alleviating some of those house price pressures. But instead, we're going to see, you know, some reshuffling on the edges. We're going to see, I think, the workplace change a bit more in terms of, you know, perhaps not flying as much, perhaps more virtual meetings, those kinds of things, as people have figured out how to do that a little more effectively. But at the end of the day, you know, people are making choices based on, you know, what kind of amenities do I have? And what's going to work for my kids? And is this going to work for my, you know, am I going to be able to earn enough income to pay for the housing I'm living in now? And as we heard from the first caller, he viewed this as a temporary phenomenon, right? So if you're going to save money for a year by moving somewhere else, you may in the long term, you know, kind of readjust. But at the same time, he didn't say, I'm definitely leaving LA for Houston for good.
All right. Gary Painter, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir, for being with us.
Be with you again, Larry.
USC Price School of Public Policy professor and at SC Price. He also directs the Center for Social Innovation and Homelessness Policy Research Institute. And from the California Association of Realtors, Deputy Chief Economist Oscar Way. Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure to have you with us. Coming up on Air Talk, we'll take a look at the tremendous challenge for high school athletes, those that perform at a high level, look at their junior and senior years as really the opportunity to attract attention from colleges, potentially get a scholarship, or be able to gain admission to a school they wouldn't otherwise have had access to. But because of the pandemic, when you can't play games, or you can't compete in meets, how do you make that impression? We'll talk about that challenge with a prep columnist for the Los Angeles Times, Eric Sondheimer, coming right up on Air Talk.